It's my job to introduce Curtis Baker to you today. It says here he's a creative leader with 30 years of experience pastoring churches, administering organizations, and coaching leaders. He holds a bachelor's degree in religion and a master of ministry from Southwest Christian University. He's a preacher, teacher, and enjoys encouraging pastors. He is most at home, however, in remote places, underdeveloped countries, and exploring new opportunities to make a difference in the lives of people. He and his wife, Jo, have 6 adult children and 3 grandchildren. Now, on the fly, I know this man personally, and I'm a little goofy because I'm kind of very selective of who I bring alongside of me when I go out in the field, and he's one of them that I just love and adore. Mighty man of God, because I've seen wherever I go the heart of compassion, the same heart that Jesus has for humanity, he has for all of you. So put your hands together and welcome Pastor Curtis Baker.
Love you, man. I love you too. Thank you, Jack, so much. Praise the Lord for the blood. Wow. There is power in the blood of Jesus to set men free all over the world in many languages today, more than you and I could count or number or that we are aware of, most of which have never been written down. There are people who are brothers and sisters of ours walking free because of the power of the blood of Jesus to reach them from mountains to valleys, remote places to the center of the massive population, cities of the earth. It's the same blood of the same Lord. One King, one Savior, one Lord, one blood. Amen. I don't know if I would have been able to continue this morning somehow if they would have just sung the chorus of that song one more time. That just reached right down into my spirit, renewing my excitement over having been saved by the power of the blood of Jesus and set free today by the authority of His name. What a great time we're having together today in the presence of the Lord, and what a great privilege it is for my wife Jo and I to be here with you at Tree of Life in the absence of your pastors, whom we love and respect very much in the Lord, but an honor nevertheless to be here, to be trusted with some time here with you today. And we're blessed already just in being here and being a part of the service up to this point. Very exciting time for believers, this time of the year as we approach the Easter weekend, Resurrection Sunday. What a great time for believers as we move towards that day and as we worship together and we remind one another of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. We remind one another of the fabulous events that transpired leading up to the last week of His life. And in fact, this morning we began to remember that and commemorate that. I want to read some verses of Scripture here in a minute that will remind us of how that Jesus came in the will of the Father at the right time, and He was the right one. He was the only one who could do for us what He did do when He went to Calvary and when He died and shed His blood and when He was risen again to live forever. He is a risen and a living Lord. And thank God for that. Praise the Lord. Just God bless you. All of you have had part today already in the service and the leading of the worship. And we're refreshed. And I'm excited to be able to share with you today out of my heart. It wasn't very long ago that we were returning. Myself, one of my sons, Brother Jack, Pastor Mike, Pastor Kristen, several out of Tree of Life Church here back in February from a mission tour to Asia into the country of Myanmar. And we had a great time together. I enjoyed so much the fellowship of the team from Tree of Life Church and always look forward to that. In fact, look forward to even some more appointments that we are making for later in the year to work together. Joe and I are really excited at this time in our lives to be involved in the kingdom of God and working together in the kingdom of God. You know, these are the greatest days that any believers have ever been privileged to be alive and serve the Lord on planet Earth. Did you know that? You need to get full of that understanding and of that joy. You need to get that down in your life. You need to wake up every day aware that we are alive in the most strategic time that any believer has ever been blessed to live for God on the face of this planet Earth. These are Bible days. The Bible is coming to pass in front of our faces every day. The words of the Bible are being heard coming out of the mouths of international leaders, whether they be in tune with the Spirit or not. They are speaking by a force that has been at work in the earth for a very long time to bring to a place of complete preparation a body, a bride that is adorned as for her husband, who is coming very, very soon, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These are great days to serve God, and we're excited about the way that the Lord is helping us to serve Him today. We lead a ministry called Visionaries International. I meant to do this earlier, but one of the ushers, I'm not sure if they're in here or Jack, if you could help me. I think I was going to call on Greg, but I think he's probably stepped out. But if we could just put those maybe by the door and have somebody do that, I would appreciate that very much. And just a brochure that has some information about our ministry, and that you can read if you'd like to pick that up, look at it. There's some pictures. There's some information. Just basically covers about Visionaries International. We are a Christian outreach to the nations. We primarily focus on helping helpers and educators and Christian builders. Much of that in the area of ministering to children, children's homes, schools, feeding programs, in Asia, in Latin America, in the Caribbean. For instance, in Myanmar, where we just returned, Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, it is still 85% a Buddhist nation. Most of the tribes in Myanmar are among those whose language is not written down. They don't have a writing system, but God is supplying that, and things are being done there. But we have found that working with children, by supporting those who are taking into their homes, and most of them are not registered with the government. It's impossible for them to be registered with the government officially as a Christian ministry, an orphanage, or a school. But they take into their homes children that are from poor Buddhist families. And those families, a lot of them live in rural areas, and they're not able to send their children to school, to pay the cost of that, plus other cost of raising and taking care of their children. God has given this vision to many who are taking those children in, and they're raising those children in Christian orphanages, many of them small numbers of 10 to 12, but up to many, many more as God supplies and makes it possible for them to do that. And by taking those children into their home, we are finding that this has become a very, very effective way of evangelizing among the Buddhists. The next generation is being raised to know Jesus Christ. It is very difficult with many of those world religions to penetrate that and to see success at winning them to Christ. There is success to be found. Many of those who are serving among those people groups in the world are working diligently, and they give their whole lives to win a few. We are finding that this is effective, and that the next generation is going to be very, very different, and that these nations are changing. And we thank God for this picture that He's given and for this opportunity to be a part of that harvest in these end times. Praise the Lord. God has blessed us in our ministry in these last few years and made it possible for us to step out by faith. And the administrative cost of what we do through Visionaries International is provided for by those who have partnered with us for that purpose. And so everything that is given goes directly to the harvest field to accomplish for God as much as a U.S. dollar that is prayed for and anointed and put in the hands of those who have been called by God and are already doing what God sent them to do, it's just our part to come alongside and help them do more. And together we can do more for the glory of God. Praise the Lord. I was going to give one of these with a little ceremony to Jack, but then I sent him on a mission, so I won't be able to do that. But on the back of that brochure, there's a photo at the bottom with him and myself and Pastor Mike from one of our former trips. I believe this was from a trip into Burma in 2013, January of 2013. And so it's a really good picture of him right there. I was going to show that off to him, and he would probably love for you to pick that up so that you can see that. And on the front of that brochure is a photo that not long ago somebody had looked at this and said, "Hey, I really like that picture of you when you were really young. You've been in this ministry a long time. You look like a little kid." And it's not me, but it's one of our sons. And he does favor me. He can't help that. That's not his fault. He and I were together just a few weeks ago down in Mexico, and we were ministering together in a place, and as an illustration, it came back to my memory of how that a few years ago, he and I were standing just talking and playing, you know, playing around with one another, and we looked up, and Joe has a mirror at that time in our house that was over the sink in the kitchen, and so we were standing there side by side, and he pointed to the mirror where there was both of our faces framed up in that mirror. And he's just a wonderful guy. He is a linguistics professor at Sam Houston State University, and he and his wife are very involved in mission projects of their own in Latin America with a great vision. But he was really in the wrong spirit on this day. He looked at the mirror, and he said to me, "Dad, look. Do you remember when you were as young as that?" And he was bragging on his own good looks. And he said, "Dad, that used to be you." He carried on. One of his other brothers chimed in. They were having a good time with me. Well, the Lord always helps you with your children, especially in these moments when they need teaching and help in that way. And so I said, "Yes, it was a very long time ago when I looked as young as you do. But I do remember it." I said, "But I want you now to look here. That's your future." How do you like that? He was speechless, which didn't make me feel any better. But we're concerned about the next generation, and we need to focus on the next generation. I appreciate the mix in a church like this one, a worshiping family together that involves the generations, that takes notes of the needs of those who are at different places in their lives, at different phases and seasons of their walk, and realize that the next generation, speaking of those who will be leading very soon, and it come so soon. Joe and I actually have four grandchildren, and this year we are expecting three more. In fact, one of my daughter-in-laws who lives in West Texas near Amarillo is 3 days late on a delivery of a grandchild to me. I'm going to be talking to her about that later. I've waited just about as long as I can, and I'm sure she will tell me, "Well, it's not just you, Papa, I'm ready. I'm ready to go." Maybe this baby has something to say about that. We have four. We have three expecting between now and the end of summer. Isn't that great? looking forward to the holidays this year and expanding. So I told somebody recently, we're doubling. We're doubling our number of grandchildren in the next few months. And I said, well, you have four and you have three who are expecting. How is that doubling? Well, I don't know. Maybe that's just a spirit of prophecy that fell on me right there in that moment. Maybe somebody has got twins or on the way. That'd be fine. I will take them two at a time. Very excited about the family and about a growing family and focusing on the next generation. The children, the youth. Are they the church of tomorrow? Yes, they are. The leaders of tomorrow? Yes, they are. But actually, they're the church of today. They're as much a part of what God is doing in the world right now as any of us who have had an opportunity to live longer and stack up some years and gain some experience. It's good to let the youth run with it and to be a part of what God's doing in the world today alongside of us. First of all, I'd like to read from Psalm 118. I'm just going to look at a couple of passages of Scripture this morning and exhort you over the next few minutes and encourage you. A few years ago, I was in Israel about this time of year, and I was with a friend of mine who was living there in Israel at the time one day when we caught a ride up the mountain east of the city of Jerusalem called Olives, over the ridge and down into the village of Bethany, and we visited the tomb of Lazarus. And we came out and our ride was waiting on us, and we said, just go ahead back into town. We want to walk. We want to walk back and we want to just spend time with the Lord, with one another, and in prayer. Well, he tried to dissuade us from doing that. He said, I'm not sure exactly it'd be safe for you to do that. Well, just let us do it. And so we did. It was a long walk from Bethany up to the eastern gate at the base of the Temple Mount. As it looks east towards the Mount of Olives, we wound around the mountain and back and forth down that steep mountainside into the Garden of Gethsemane. And then from the garden, after a time of prayer, walking through the Valley of Kidron, then up through the tombs that have been laid over the centuries by many Muslims, up to the sealed gate at the base of the Temple Mount, looking towards the east, the eastern gate. It's not going to stay sealed forever. Those gates are going to open one day and welcome again the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one sent from heaven at the right time. There has been visitations in the past to earth, to humankind, to Israel proper, to Jerusalem, God's city, to the Temple Mount. There was a visitation that we celebrate that occurred almost 2,000 years ago. Today we commemorate that. And we're going to read some of the words of Jesus that he spoke on that day in just a moment. But there is coming a future visit. One is coming to call. As a bridegroom who calls upon the one who has been promised to him with an intent to take her, accept her, and make her his forever, as long as they two shall live. We have a visitor who is planning to call on us very soon. In the 118th Psalm, beginning verse number 22, I feel a very real presence of the Holy Spirit here, right now, in this place. Verse number 22 says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one, verse number 26, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and He has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His loving kindness is everlasting. It's a couple of those verses from that passage that we read. Really, really familiar and well known to us. We have been singing them in songs of worship and lots of them over the past 3 or 4 decades. But verse number 24, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Would you say that with me? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The last verse of that Psalm 29 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Say that with me. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Say it again. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. It says His loving kindness is everlasting. Let's say that together. His loving kindness is everlasting. If I could just pause for a moment and give God thanks. If you'd like to join me, I give you that opportunity now. This is the day the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. A prophetic psalmist began to sing in centuries past, looking for another generation that wasn't born yet, but would be a glorious generation on the earth. And he said, looking forward, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, you're not even going to live until that day, writer of the Bible. You're so old now that even if we looked in the mirror, it would be impossible for you to remember so long ago. It would be impossible for us to recognize you if that were even possible. So much time has passed. He looked forward. And he saw one who would bring together all times. Amen. All generations. All peoples. All nations, all languages, and all tribes. And in the center of his prophesying about one who was coming, not in his own name, but in the name of a sender, in the name of a visionary, in the name of a creator who had purpose in his creation and is not willing to give up on his creation because of some disobedience, because of some failure, because of some sin. Whatever the price that it would take to change the pattern of failure, the pattern of decay, the pattern of death, the pattern of loss, that kind of an inheritance that would be passed from generation to generation, that the separation between men and God would not be healed, but it would just get further and further and further apart. A much larger place of divide and reason for division than even what the original sin had caused because of the accumulation of all of man's sin and failure. He looked beyond that to a time when a sender would say it's time. And he saw in that day prophetically such great salvation, such great hope, such great healing, such valuable blood of a priceless and sinless lamb that he paused in the middle of his prophesying, of his vision, of his looking, and of his describing. And he said, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will. Yeah, he's looking forward to a day of rejoicing. And he said, circumstances of loss, pressures of life, disgusting pictures of sin that are continually rising up in my face, the disappointments of unfulfilled dreams
and the losses that come to those that I have loved because they, like me, are facing severe battles of faith and trials on a daily basis here on this planet, in this life that we live. Oh, I see a day that is a better day. I see one who is better than anyone who has ever lived, who's ever breathed, who's ever walked upon this planet. I see a day that the Lord has made for me, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and singing the song of what I'm going to do because of what God has promised to do, and the knowledge that if God has promised to do it, it will come to pass no matter what anybody else has to say about it. I have decided now that I am going to be one who rejoices in my future. I am going to be one who rises up in my future with blessing in my mouth for the one who made it possible. I decide today that I will not stay as I am, and I will not walk under this heaviness forever, but I will rise, and it will be a glorious resurrection, and I will stand with my Redeemer in the latter day, and I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice on the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, hey man, I'm sorry for yelling at you. No, I don't have to do that. I have this. Sometimes it just comes out that way. What nerve. Oh, what boldness. What kind of intestinal fortitude is supplied to the one who will stand up in his day, looking towards a future day, who will stand in his circumstances, but look in the direction that his visitation is coming from, and will begin to talk about his relationship with God, what has been provided for him, what has been planned for him. You are my God, and I give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. That word everlasting, as it applies to our Lord, his nature, everything about him, what he says, what he has done, and what he plans to do, is one of my favorite words in the Bible. To say that God is everlasting is not only to declare that he is going to be here forever in future yet to come, but it is to declare that he has always been, as well as to say that he always will be. He is an eternal God, an everlasting in the sense of his eternality. He is the same, the Bible says, does it not? Yesterday, today, and forever. So the forever part of his everlasting nature is that which nobody has yet experienced or seen. It's been reserved for you and me, for the generation that we are now nurturing, for my unborn grandchildren who are already in the earth. I just haven't seen them yet. All the evidence is there. They're coming to visit me very soon. One of them is causing pangs of labor right now, and the other two are making life very uncomfortable for their mothers. Very soon we will see them. Our God is a future God. But to understand the everlasting, internal part of his nature requires that we do something with our mind that the natural mind is not very well equipped to do. And that is to imagine that that which is yet to come is as real before the face of God as what has been. God sees clearly what has yet to be just as clearly as He sees what has been and this moment that we live right now. God is a now God. I thank God that faith is something that works now. That faith in God is what translates us from being merely physical beings and mental beings in this earth to being a part of God in His everlasting nature. Past, present, and future all at one time. I have found an illustration that I use a lot when I'm teaching in Asia that seems to relate very well to the people there. And I say that God is a God of today. He is with us now. He has come with us to this point. He has brought us here. And when He looks to the future and speaks to us in His Word or prophetically by gifts that work in the body about the encouragement that we should take up and carry with us into the next hours and into the next days and into all of the days that are ahead of us, as long as God gives us on earth and as long as He tarries the second coming of His Son, Jesus Christ. Today, God is with us. He is with me. He is with you. When we are together in Him, we are one. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, but you have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which is the Lord's. When we are together, we become, even at another level, in that unity, the temple of the Holy Spirit of God upon the earth. He is alive in us now. Where is the Holy Spirit? He is here. Specifically, He is in me and He is in you and He is among us. When we leave this place, He goes with me. The Holy Spirit is here when we gather in a house like this because He comes with us. He doesn't wait on us to get here. He doesn't stay behind at the church planning the next meeting. Well, I hope they all show up again. I hope they all make it through the week. I would like to see everybody again next Sunday. He goes with us. When we return, He returns. And every one of our activities between those appointments with one another, the Holy Spirit is present and is a part of those appointments. When we come together, I noticed a little bit even in here today. We came in, you know, and the worship team had been working already, and they hit the ground in front of us with some praise, giving us an opportunity to join in with them and to begin to move towards God as we do. When we began to sing those songs of ascent, praises that turns into worship, and it's exciting from the very first note, but most of us have to get geared up a little bit. The Holy Spirit never has that problem. He doesn't have to get ready to do anything for God. He doesn't have to get in the right mind. He doesn't have to get in the right attitude. He doesn't have to feel it in the song. He doesn't have to wait until they cut down on the kind of song I like. He doesn't have to wait until the one that I really like to hear sing takes the microphone and begins to lead. I don't mean to be bothering anybody in your preferences, or in but we're the way we are. The Holy Spirit never has to get ready like that. He is ready. He is ready, and He is waiting. He is waiting in you, and He is waiting in me. But He is that part of God inside of us who, just as the Father, because of His constant intercession, His constant fellowship, His constant communication with the heart of the Father Himself, is looking forward to what God has set in front of us. And He is anticipating. That's why that if you just will give Him an opportunity, He will show up in you and He will show out through you with the excitement of what God has prepared, the table that He has set for us, the things that He has arranged for us, the victory that He has planned for us, because He saw the challenge coming, but He's way ahead of the challenger. Oh, He saw the battle coming, but He's way ahead of the challenger. He saw the day of need coming, but he's way ahead of those spirits of lack and those spirits of need and those spirits of poverty that try to come and sit on us in this life. He has provided for us a way out of every temptation because he sees it coming. And the Holy Ghost with me is in me now. Wherever I am, he's there. Whatever I do, he does it with me. Whatever I take part in, whether it's pleasing God or whether it's not, he is patient and long-suffering, even as it is with Christ. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And in the day of his visitation, I see with my eyes what God has seen before. In the day of his visitation, I take a step into my healing. Though I was sick, I'm not anymore. I take a step into his prosperity. Though I did have a need, I don't have it anymore. He walks with me and talks with me. And in the day when I'm ignorant, I take a step by the design plan of God into the knowledge that God has set for me in my future that will cause me to praise him even before I see the glory. To praise him even before I see the visitor coming. To praise him just because he said something about it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Curtis. Go ahead and preach that. Everlasting God. And the Spirit of the Everlasting One is in me. Now, today. But he is more concerned about my future than he is my past. The one who knows my past. Wow. The one who knows my present. He's got big feet. God is with me now. He's in today. He's in this moment. He's in my life. He's in my present. He's in my circumstance. He is with me as he promised he would be. But his heels are in my yesterday. And his toes are in my tomorrow. I believe that God faces the future. Especially in the life of a believer. Because if we have dealt with our sinning and with our problem that separates us from God according to the Word and by the blood of Jesus, my everlasting Father and Savior and spiritual companion has chosen to forget what I've done. He sees the past in a different way. In fact, when God looks at my life, I believe he sees it as clearly as I remember the movie that I may have watched last night on my DVD player. From beginning to end, it becomes one picture, one thought line, one progressive story. So God sees where we're going. We look forward to the gospel now. The gospel of Luke. Chapter 19. You see, God has things in mind for you. He has things that he has planned for you. Not just to answer your prayers, not just to work out the details of your life. But to do these things in a way that the glory of God shines forth like a whole new dawn before the face of somebody who are still at a place in their past. You see, they're still living their past the way you were, the way I was. There was a time that our day-to-day living was just adding to our past because our future was going to be no different than what had been. Where those feelings of futility and hopelessness sometimes come from. But by the power of God that changes the life of a man or a woman, our life becomes less about what has been and much, much more about what is yet to be. God wants you to be encouraged today about what is coming. because of His plan for you. Because of the seed that you have sown today, the harvest that is possible tomorrow. Because of the ministry that you have today among other believers, just by being you and bringing what you bring to the fellowship, the reward of that is set in your future. What have you done today in obedience for God that require that you just go ahead and push through some feelings of, well, I'd rather not, into just, I'm going to anyway. Because there's one who in me who would not let me down. But He is in communication with the one who sees everything and has decided already beforehand to turn my nights into days, to turn my grief into joy, to turn my questions into answers, to turn my possibilities into realities. For His glory, for His bigger picture, for His greater cause in the earth. Here in Luke chapter 19, we hear this gospel writer's rendition of the day that Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, 1 week before His resurrection, 5 days before His crucifixion. Verse number 36 of Luke 19, as He was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as He was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen. See, Psalm 118 is coming to pass. This is the day that the Lord has made. He made it centuries past. This is the day. Verse number 38, they were shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They were speaking to Jesus, of course. But Jesus answered, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. Well, that's what we are anyway. Just a bunch of dry, rock-hard dirt. That the Father, in His time of visitation, scooped up by the handfuls and He spat on it. And He breathed in it. And men became living souls. See, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He made it for rejoicing. He made it for shouting. He made it for declarations of the arrival of the King for all people, for all times. This is the day that history hinges on. This is a moment that the earth has been waiting for. This is a time that all of creation has heard it preached. For in the realm of the Spirit, there is a word that has gone forth for people in the past about their future. And that same one is speaking yet today to you and me about our future. And He said, in the latter days, there is going to be a day for rejoicing. There's going to be a moment for praising and for shouting. There is going to be a moment for prophetic declaration and fulfillment. And out of the mouths of my people, it shall become real on the earth. Those who are in agreement with me will shout the day and will proclaim that it is the day of their visitation. You know that Jesus later in this chapter is quoted as saying that there were some of those present who despised the activities of those who praised Him, and of those who spread their coats in the road, and of those who stripped the palm branches off the trees, and who had a procession that was fit for the King of Kings on that day. And He said, as He wept over them, I am so sorry that you did not understand the day of your visitation. I'm sorry that you didn't see me coming. I'm sorry that you weren't watching for this. I'm sorry that you were unprepared for what had been prophesied what had been spoken and what was surely to come. I'm sorry that you were not ready for the day of your visitation. On this day, we read that they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. This is a fulfillment of Psalm 118. It's a word that is spoken by the Hebrews that is actually kind of a compound of three different words that when they say them all together in rapid succession, it sounds that way. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. It's really saying, Lord, save us now. Lord, save us now. You see, even the term that they spoke that had taken on a different pronunciation and was just a word that was like a word from another language that they really didn't understand, prophetically, they stood in the streets. And with a ceremony of celebration like had never been seen in the streets of Jerusalem, even on the day when Solomon, David's son, rose into the city on the back of a donkey. And it says that the city vibrated that day like an earthquake, but it was just from the dancing of the people's feet and the pots and the pans. And all the things on the shelves in people's homes were falling off and crashing on the floor because they celebrated the arrival of the new king. Oh, this was even a greater day than that. And he said, if you don't declare it, then these stones will declare it, the day of my visitation. Would you stand on your feet with me right now? Would you say this with me, Hosanna? Say it again, Hosanna. Let's say it three times, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Let's do it again three times, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Say it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Three times Hosanna, followed by blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Ready, let's go. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's do it again. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Once again, please. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes, the name of the Lord. Would you shout it now? Do it once again. Hosanna! 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 Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Would you say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice in this day of my visitation. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh man, let's just lift our hands now and write freely out of your heart, out of your spirit. Would you just give the Lord praise and would you give him glory? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The one who has come and the one who is coming. Thank you for the visitations of generations past. But thank you for this day of your great visitation to our lives. Thank you that this is the day you have made. Thank you that this day extends into my future. Thank you that in the day of the Lord there is neither sunrise nor sunset. Thank you that in the day of the Lord there is neither morning nor evening. Thank you that in the day of the Lord there is going out and there is coming in, but never leaving your presence. Thank you in the day of the Lord that there is victory for God's people. Thank you that in the day of the Lord there is resurrection of the dead. That there is a rejoining of spirits to bodies that have laid decaying in the earth. But faith in Jesus Christ cannot help but bring us back together. Thank you that the day of the Lord is an eternal day. Thank you that the day of the Lord lasts from now until forever, as long as you see and as long as we will see when we stand with you in that new city. Thank you that the day of the Lord is coming very soon. Thank you that as we declare it right now, that there is a blessing of knowing that we are a part of all that you have prepared for us in the future, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray a prayer right now for men who are looking at some questions right now concerning things that affect your livelihood, your career options, and your income. And specifically this, some of you that contend with worries and concerns that may or may not be real, it really doesn't matter. Because you have a source who is bigger than the corporation. You have a source that is bigger than the one who has the power to hire and fire. You have a source that is bigger than a changing economy. Things that are out of your control are not outside of the control of the hand of God. In fact, before I turn this service back to Pastor Jack, I would like to invite any man in this service who would like to respond to that right now and quickly step out from where you are and come and stand in a line across here. They're saying, I'm stepping across a line. My faith is completely and totally in God today. I'm not going to live in this day knowing that the Lord has prepared my day, that the Lord has planned my day, that the Lord has called my day. You see, an anointing is coming upon you, an anointing of confidence and of surety in the Lord, that God in you is enough and more than enough to provide for the needs of your family and to cause you to be able to stand behind the commitments that you have made financially to be a part of this end time harvest. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Chains break off of your lives right now. If you'd like to lift a hand with me just by faith, if you're comfortable with it, just get into the flow of God's Spirit. Just get into the flow of God's Spirit right now. Chains are breaking off of your life. Those things that give place to that worry, those places that give that cause those concerns sometime to be so real that you know it's just going to happen, that you're going to wake up tomorrow and face your worst fear. Well, that fear is no issue to God, and it is no consequence in your life if you will replace that with your words of thanksgiving and praise for the Lord. I thank you for stepping out and coming up here. I believe this is a moment of real transition for you. I believe that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is breaking yokes, that is chains, that He is taking off of your life those things that have caused you to be joined to wrong ideas and wrong expectations. Your future is written. It is written for you by God. And as you pursue Him, you will not miss it. I say you will not miss it in Jesus' name. You will not miss that better day. You will not miss that next opportunity. You will not miss that next raise. You will not miss that better thing that God has ordained for you. Your family is going to be blessed, and it's going to be because of your faith and your faithfulness. God is going to work through you in new ways. God is going to cause some breaches in the relationships within your household to be fixed. They're going to be healed. They're going to be sealed up. They're going to be overcome in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for the anointing of the Spirit that is flowing right now. From my right down this line all the way to my left across the front of this sanctuary. Thank you, Lord, that we are looking at our future the way that you look at it today. We thank you that our future is the day that you've made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise Him now, guys. Just praise Him in it. Just take your mouth, open it, take your voice and praise Him. This is my future, ordained by God. I will be glad. I will rejoice in it. I will walk with God. I will climb higher. I will go further. I will see the next generation praising God, achieving their destiny for His glory. I believe that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pastor, come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, guys.